Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. The Commission on Local Government Modernization, better known as Consensus, has recently issued its final report. It's fair to say that so far the report has generated something other than consensus. Today I'm joined by Rob Simpson, who, although not a member of the Commission, was involved in the report and has been a local leader in advocating for greater government consolidation. Rob is the president of Center State CEO and the Tech Garden and is also co-chair of the Central New York Regional Development Council. Rob, thanks for coming in to talk with me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I also want to note, before we get into our conversation, for our listeners that in a coming week I plan to speak with critics of the report as well. But the last time that you and I talked, the preliminary report had just come out. And since that time, there have been several different kinds of channels of public and more elite kinds of feedback that the commission solicited, including many town hall type meetings in different locations. So the first question I wanted to ask you was, what are the most significant changes that were made in the final report relative to that preliminary one?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of key things that we heard from the community as it related to the preliminary recommendations. First and foremost, you'll notice the last time around we had 51 recommendations. This time we have 50. Frankly, that's in large part due to the credit of Onondaga County that took it upon themselves to take one of the what we would have called the low-hanging fruit and implement it. And that was a work to consolidate and restructure both Aqua and the Metropolitan Water Board to try to drive some savings in our water system. They've taken that on. They've implemented it through the county legislature, and we're thrilled to see that. Frankly, that's leadership. Two, the community told us very clearly that they loved a number of the recommendations, that they were interested in, one, in which order should we be implementing some of these recommendations. So they wanted an implementation timeline. So we've tried very hard to identify what kind of timeline could some of these recommendations be implemented, to who is necessary to actually implement these recommendations, if it's police, if it's fire, if it's water and sewer, who are the individual stakeholders need to be involved. And three, they told us they wanted more detail, in particular about the recommendations around our regional governance and what a metropolitan government would look like. Frankly, that wasn't a task that the commission originally thought we were going to be undertaking, actually developing a charter or a model for a new form of government. The plan had been to stop just short of that and allow our elected leaders to do that. But the public told us they wanted more detail. We wanted to be responsive. And so this report tries very hard to be responsive to that.
And I wanted to pick up on that last point, because that is obviously the piece of the report that's getting the most attention, just as it did in the preliminary report. But now, as you say, you've actually put forward a plan for this more consolidated form of government. And it's this recommendation for this major consolidation of the Onondaga County and Syracuse City government. So can you summarize that recommendation for me?
Sure. I want to be clear about something. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about what that recommendation really is. The recommendation is not necessarily to merge the city and the county. The recommendation is to create a new form of metropolitan government. Our premise from the beginning has been that the way that we're organized today is not optimally efficient. If you were starting from scratch, you would never build 36 separate municipalities in a community of 470,000 people. And that we believe that there is a new model for governance that can represent our entire community, that can do so more efficiently and effectively, and maybe as importantly, that can help all of these individual communities actually work together to drive the things that are important, right? Economic growth and quality of life. Our recommendation is to create a new metropolitan form of government. Our recommendation is that every municipality, including the county, the city, and all the towns and villages, have the opportunity to opt into that form of government, right? By a referendum of their citizens, they could choose to participate in that vehicle or not. And we've also made the recommendation that, frankly, as the two largest municipal enterprises, the city of Syracuse and Onondaga County would be the logical entities to provide some leadership on this issue, to go first, if you will. That is not to say that we think that they should be the only municipal enterprises that participate, but there is something important to be said for leadership, and they are the largest and represent approximately 85% of the total government spending at the local level in Onondaga County.
So if everybody were to say yes, then the form of government that we'd be looking at is one executive, right?
Correct.
And 30-some-odd members of a legislature, correct?
Yep, that's correct. So one elected executive that would be elected across the entire metropolitan government, 33 members of a legislative body. I'll tell you, there was a lot of thought given, and frankly, I've been a part of a lot of community conversations. The discussion that these 19 commission members who came from varied backgrounds, organized labor, neighborhood activists, educators, business, government leaders, the discussion that they had about the values that we try to represent in our government was really it was stunning. It was stunning in its candor. It was stunning in its solution-oriented nature. I think that was really rewarding to see people try to understand where they're coming from and what it is we were trying to accomplish. The goal of creating a 33-member legislature was really designed around being responsive to some of the thousands of the comments that we got from people. They told us they wanted us to bring government closer to them. They have an immediate reaction to big government. They understand the efficiencies. But by developing the legislature in the way we did, we actually were able to shrink the size of the constituent ratio. So currently, the city of Syracuse Common Council and the county legislature have one representative member for every 27 or 28,000 residents. In the model that we've proposed, there is one legislative representative for every 16,000 residents, effectively bringing everybody's representative closer to them and allowing for a greater focus on the individual quality of life in that now smaller and more defined community.
So you mentioned there were 50 recommendations. That's the big one, so to speak. So what do you view as the most significant other 49? Which ones stand out to you?
I think that they're all significant. I mean, one of the things that I actually find very heartening about the entire consensus effort is that a group of residents, citizens, civic leaders have been able to identify 50 individual and in very specific ways in which we could not only save money, but as importantly, in some cases more importantly, deliver better service. I think there are recommendations around emergency medical services that point to the significant discrepancy in response times throughout the community. That's not good, right? It's not good that some people have very, very high quality service and other people don't. The same is true in fire response. I also think it points to some very significant opportunities to do things like road paving and road maintenance on a greater metropolitan scale to drive efficiencies. Not every individual town and village is optimally equipped to figure out how to build new road beds and so on and so forth. So I think that every one of those recommendations is something that, frankly, we ought to be pursuing.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Center State CEO Rob Simpson about the Consensus Commission's final report. Tell me a little bit about the processes through which the recommendations could get implemented. You mentioned referendum before, so explain how these things actually might come to be.
Sure. Some of the recommendations are actually pretty straightforward, and we talked a little bit earlier about the one recommendation mm-hmm. that's already been implemented, AQUA and MWB. This was basically a decision that the county of Onondaga and the county legislature made together to consolidate those operations. They've done it through the budget process. The new combined entity is already operating effective January 31st, and that's a very positive thing for the community. So some of these recommendations can be done very locally via collaboration between a town and a town or a village to a village or a village to a town. Some of them require something that is called an intermunicipal agreement. In other words, a formal written document that explains how one town might share services with another. They're going to share a snowplow. They're going to share police force or police cars. That's sort of the next order of magnitude of intensity, if you will. And then there are a handful of recommendations that we believe would likely require a form of citizen buy-in, right? A referendum, if you will. One of the things that that we've pointed out in the report is just how difficult it is in New York State to have a referendum. Decisions are tightly controlled by existing elected bodies. And as a result, it is very, very challenging to put something on the ballot, even if it is something that citizens are asking for from their elected representatives.
Now, you made it clear earlier that although there are cost savings that you think would be found in some of these recommendations, that that's not the only way to think about the value of doing them.
Absolutely.
And you said that. I remember in our conversation about a year ago with the preliminary report, you also underlined that point. Now, having said that, it's still the case, though, that many of the critics of the report have questioned whether those cost savings would occur. So what gives you the confidence that, just thinking of the cost savings for a moment, that there are significant cost savings to be had from some of these recommendations?
So let me try to answer that as simply as I can. Between our local units of government, 36 individual municipalities, we're spending $1.7 billion. I do not believe for a second that there are not efficiencies, significant efficiencies that can be had. Any enterprise, whether you're a not-for-profit, whether you're a municipal government, you're a state government, you're a corporation, there are ways to streamline and to do better. That, to me, is just common sense. Second of all, if you look at certain examples that have gone on in the community over the course of the last many years, most recently, and some of the most prominent examples are some of the police department consolidations that have happened. I think about East Syracuse and the town of DeWitt. I think about Clay and the county sheriff's department. I think the statistic that I recall, and hopefully I'll get this right, is that over the first 7 years of the combination between the sheriff's department and the Clay Police Department, first of all, not a single police officer lost their job. They were all offered opportunities with the county sheriff's department. And two, over 7 years, they saved $10 million. Now, that's one service out of many. That's one town out of many. And the net savings was about $1.5 million a year, or $10 million over 7 years. So we don't believe that that $33 million estimate is in any way, shape, or form overly aggressive. Frankly, if the commission had a different value set, I have no doubt that that number could be higher. But one of the things that we heard very clearly from the public and, frankly, from our representatives from organized labor on the commission is that many men and women in labor that work for the public sector were concerned that this report might lead to large-scale job losses. And so we've tried very hard to represent that value in the decision-making that we've made.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Center State CEO Rob Simpson. We're discussing the Commission on Local Government Modernization's final consensus report. Well, I wanted to get into some of the politics of this now, and I think this is where this, particularly this big recommendation that I'm going to call consolidation, although I take your point that it's more complicated than that, I think gets a bit sticky. It seems to me politically, and I'll just have to take a couple minutes to develop this, like the recommendation for that significant consolidation faces a problem on two different fronts. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you've got folks in the city, I think, that are worrying that it will lead to a dilution of concern for and political representation of the poor and the non-white, and that it doesn't really address the key problem of city school funding relative to the tax base. That's one side. On the other side, coming at it from the other direction, I think you've got a lot of folks in the suburbs who worry about losing their small towns' political identities, losing control over their own affairs, and then getting saddled at the same time with the costs of the city. On top of that, for many of them, I think the idea of consolidating the school systems is just out of the question, and they would worry that even though this plan doesn't have that, somehow if they go down that path, it's going to lead to it in the future, kind of the slippery slope sort of worry. So if I'm stepping back from this as a political analyst and I'm handicapping this politically, it's hard for me to see it winning. So how can you speak to that concern and convince me that this is going to have a good chance?
So listen, nothing, absolutely nothing that is designed to be transformative is easy, right? I don't think there's a single member of the commission that got involved 3.5 years ago that that thought that their recommendations were necessarily going to be warmly received. Frankly, however, I've been personally amazed by how many people have said to me, both publicly and privately, how this is common sense, how the types of changes we're recommending are most challenging primarily for many of what I would call perhaps some of the political establishment, if you will, right? Folks who might find themselves with a slightly different power structure where they're not as empowered going forward. I want to speak to a couple of the things that you mentioned, though, because they're really important, not only to me, but I think to every member of the commission. We've wrestled with each and every one of these issues. So let's talk about the issue of representation mm-hmm. for a second. As I mentioned sure. before, we tried as best we could, given the fact that the commission wasn't designed to create a new model of government, but the community asked us to give us our best recommendation. We tried as best we could to be responsive to the issues that we heard, not only in the city but in the suburbs. They said that they wanted to ensure that they had access to their representatives. We've driven the per capita representation down to a level where we believe their representation is more accessible and more approachable than ever before. Let's also talk about the issue specifically of minority representation. I know this is something that many on the commission, in fact, I would say every member of the commission is particularly sensitive to. Currently, the City of Syracuse Common Council has affected, if you look at the 9 voting members, two of the 9 are minority representatives in a city that has 46% of its population underrepresented. That's not sufficient. That's not cutting it. And what I would argue is that our current structure isn't serving those communities well. On the county side, we have a similar circumstance. We have 19% of the county as a whole that is minority or underrepresented population, and only 11% of our county legislature is of color. The current structures that we have today are part of, in my opinion, what has led us to the circumstance that we have, which is significant economic and socioeconomic bifurcation of decision making, which hasn't led us to a positive outcome. I also think it's important to note that we have been criticized by many in the county for this being effectively a shift of the costs of running the city onto the county. What's interesting is at the same time we're being criticized by individuals in the city who believe that this is a county takeover. So folks in the county are saying they don't want the city, and folks in the city are saying that – you know what I mean?
Right. You've got it coming from both sides.
To me, what that speaks to is the fact that we've tried very hard to be responsive to those concerns and those constituencies while not being beholden to them. This is a big plan. It's a bold plan. This plan would dramatically change the course for Syracuse and Central New York. Conceivably, you could create the second largest municipality in New York State with a referendum that would bring these governments together. Conceivably, you could give yourself a significant amount more bargaining power. You could have the 38th largest city in America via a combination of these governmental units. Now, one of the biggest challenges that I see as it relates to our the difference between city and suburbs has been our land use policy over many, many years. And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of research to realize that over the course of the last 40 years, the urbanized land in Onondaga County has doubled, but that our population has stayed the same. We haven't made smart use of our existing infrastructure, and we have and as a result, we have enabled a significant erosion of the center city, which is, frankly, our strongest economic asset. Many of the recommendations in the report are designed to directly address that. In fact, we've actually modeled part of one of our proposals on a solution that we saw out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, a tax sharing program that actually is designed to help communities, especially rural communities, who want to maintain their rural character, not to have to go out and develop housing or gas stations or other development just for the sake of raising tax revenue to meet their rising obligations, while at the same time encouraging development where existing infrastructure is already in place. To me, that's smart. To me, that leads to better long-term land use. To me, that probably means a reconcentration of investment in the city and other inner ring suburbs where there's existing infrastructure. And that is one of the ways in which we're going to be able to tangibly tackle issues of poverty and income segregation.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Center State CEO Rob Simpson. I've got another political question for you that's a bit more subtle. Has to do with how it might affect the decision-making psyche. The political times we're living in, I wonder whether that might also hamper the prospects for success. And specifically, what I have in mind here is that the Trump administration has created a lot of new uncertainty about the fiscal support for cities and urban areas and also about certain social support programs, for example, Medicaid. So I wonder if that might not make, all other things being equal, public officials as well as members of the public more risk-averse when contemplating some big large-scale political change or transformative, as you phrased it.
Listen, I think as a community, generally speaking, Central New York has a risk-averse mentality. I understand that, having lived here almost my entire life. Many of the last 40 years haven't been friendly to Central New York or to the entire upstate New York economy. It's part of the reason why I personally feel a sense of passion and urgency around doing something different and doing something transformative is to try to alter that trajectory. I don't think there's a single one of us that lives in this community that's particularly satisfied with the status quo. I also think, you know, let's be brutally honest, when we started this process 3.5 years ago, we did so with the full support of the Common Council, the full support of the county legislature, the Town Supervisor Association, the Town Village Association, and with the full support standing side by side of our mayor and our county executive. That is not the case today. What's happened over that period of time is all already part of the public record. We don't need to rehash it. That makes the prospects for advancing change more positive. But here's what I would say to anyone out there who's listening that's as tired as I am about the infighting and the front page headlines. We have an opportunity to make a smart decision for the long term. This is not a short-term solution to any problem. This is not a short-term solution to poverty. This is not a short-term solution to state mandates. This is not a short-term solution to anything. This is a solution and a plan crafted by some very capable volunteers in our community to try to position Syracuse and Central New York for the long term in the future. In an increasingly competitive global environment, it's designed to try to increase our political clout and influence in Albany and in Washington. It's designed to try to get us out of our parochial mentality, candidly, and start thinking about ourselves with a common future. The fact that we're still talking about people in our suburban communities who look at the city of Syracuse as anything other than a major economic asset is really astounding. And likewise, the city is 100% dependent on its suburbs, frankly, for its workforce and so many other things. We are one interdependent community, and what we've proposed is a metropolitan government that reflects that.
We've only got about a minute left, but there's a final question I wanted to put to you about this. Again, it's sort of related to politics, but more general than that. The governor has suggested in recent weeks that some significant consolidation is now a condition of this area getting that $500 million chunk of money from the state for economic development. Is that, again, just with a minute or so left, is that a healthy condition under which the community should be considering these recommendations?
No, and I don't think that that's a real condition at all. Listen, this process started 3.5 years ago by the community. I heard someone today refer to this as a top-down effort, and it's really unfortunate if it's being characterized that way. This conversation came from many local civic groups that wanted a chance to demonstrate a better path forward for Central New York. This conversation remains wholly independent of New York State. The governor or no one else in New York State is driving this local conversation. This is something that is coming from key community members. And I want to leave folks with this. $33 million in savings that we believe is readily achievable without major sacrifices to public employment or other opportunities. That is a significant amount of funding. The total city property tax levy is $30 million. The total county property tax levy is $140 million. You think about that as a percentage of our total property taxes, the impact that could have on people's lives, on business competitiveness is significant. That doesn't even account for the new revenue sources we believe something like this could generate. There is ample opportunity, and there should be, for this community to continue this discussion. I would just hope that some of our elected leaders who have chosen to overly politicize this issue actually roll up their sleeves. And the final thing I would say is anyone who wants to criticize this report is more than welcome to. It's a body of work out there. We will all take the slings and arrows. But I challenge everyone who has a bone to pick with this report to bring their own alternative vision for the future forward and lay out in as much detail as consensus and the commission has how they would go about achieving that vision.
That was Rob Simpson. The report is called Consensus, and you can find it at consensuscny.com. And again, stay tuned in the coming weeks for an alternative view of the report. Rob, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.